Well, once again, happy New Year's, happy 2022. I think we are all looking forward, if you would, to having a better year in 2022 than what 2021, dealt out to us individually and as a nation and really as a world, with the coronavirus, with the mandates, with the debates over the mandates, with arguments that go on and the sad things that you see about whether to wear a mask and whether you shouldn't wear a mask. I saw something on the internet this last week and it just broke my heart. On an airplane, this young lady who had her mask down on her chin was yelling and screaming at a man, a senior citizen, and because he was eating his meal, and she said that he should take the mask down and put a piece of food in and put the mask up, and she starts yelling at him and screaming at him, and the vocabulary that was being used was just atrocious, and the flight attendants tried to stop it, and she even hit the guy upside the head, and it was just horrible. I mean, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. But the bottom line is, should it divide the body of Christ? And I've seen the body of Christ divided over this whole issue about coronavirus, whether you should wear a mask, whether you should be vaccinated, whether you shouldn't be vaccinated. And it's the enemy has had a heyday. He has had a heyday. He is rejoicing on what he has done and the fear that he has put into people, and especially believers. One of the worst things that can happen is to have a believer live in fear. And he did a heck of a job in 2021. But in 2022, we're going to recognize that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a mind that is sound. Notice, and a mind that is sound. Where do we get a sound mind? We're going to find that in the Word of God. So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hands. The ushers will get your Bible and leave your hand up, and then you can just either take your Bible back and put it into the little bookshelf. We'll wipe it down later on. Now, as I mentioned, we're probably all looking for a better year this year than we had last year. But let me ask you this question. Have any of you made any New Year's resolutions so far this year? For this year. You can raise your hands if you did. It's okay. No one is going to admit to making a New Year's resolution. Oh, there's some. There they are. Okay, they're slightly, they're half a resolutions because they're going like this. They're none of these. Well, let me ask you a question. Without a show of hands, you're the second day into this year. Have you broken some already? Well, I believe that when we do make those resolutions, if you would, and if you do, when we make them, that we are really well-intended. Our hearts are right. We're wanting to be a better person, and so therefore we make a resolution to be a better person in this particular area of our life. And our hearts are right. Our intentions are good, but we fall so short on that. And why is that? I think to understand that, in our minds, we need to go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. We recognize that God created man and he created woman. And he put him in the garden. And in the garden there, he says, you can have of all the fruit of the trees, all the food, except for this one. Well, what was he doing? He was saying, I am going to give you free will. You can have all of this, but I'm asking you, do not eat this one. Don't take of that one. And so it's given a word as, you won't find it in the Bible, but it's called, we call it free will. So you have the free will to do something now. You can choose to do something. You can choose to do right by following what God's instructions were for Adam and Eve, or you can choose to do wrong. Well, if God gives you instructions, then he's desiring that you would choose to do right. But we see that Satan is desiring that you would do what is wrong because he had free will. Remember, he was created to be an angel in heaven. But pride entered in. He goes, I want to be God. I want to be I. And pride entered in. Rebellion took place in heaven, and a third of the angels fell. A third of the angels exercised their free will, and they rebelled against God, and then they were cast out. And we see that Satan is trying to get people to follow after his rebellion by doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. God's Word will bring us truth, it will bring us joy, it will bring us peace, and it will bring us comfort in our time of need. And God wants the best for us, as we'll see in just a little bit. Satan does not want that for you. We see that very evident where he was very deceptive with Eve. You know the full story. I don't have to go through it. But he tricked her, and she used her free will to satisfy her flesh. And she and Adam both fell. But what does that have to do with us? We take a look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, and it's very clear. It says this, that Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness and in his image, and he called his name Seth. So we see that Adam and Eve had a son by the name of Seth, in his likeness and in his image. What was Adam's image and his likeness? His image was a man, and so Seth was born a biological man. Women that would be born would be a biological woman in their likeness. But also in their image, we see that there's something else that's going on as well. For in the likeness, we also see that Adam and Eve were given free will. Is that not correct? We just established that. And so we see that Adam used his free will, and he sinned. And now we see that Seth is going to inherit spiritually, if you would, that sin nature. It's just there. It's going to be there. You do not have to teach children how to sin. You have to teach children how not to sin. I don't know about you, but I enjoy, I do have Instagram, and you know, some of you people I follow, and you don't know I'm following you just to see what you're doing. But I like the little kids ones. I just get a chuckle out of the little kids ones. And there was these two little boys. One was sitting, had something that the other boy wanted. And the little boy was standing, and he walked over, and he slugged his brother right in the head. And the brother falls back and starts to get up to come to him. And then I looked over at the boy that hit him. He starts crying, and he's holding his hand because he hurt his hand from punching his brother in the head. But did mom and dad have to go in there and teach them boxing lessons? When you're going to hit him someplace where it's not going to hurt so bad, son. Don't hit him to where you're going to hurt your hand. You know, no. That little boy, like your precious little angels, have a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, we have to teach them not to lie. We have to teach them not to be selfish. We have to teach them to be spiritual. We have to teach them to have a knowledge of the Word of God. So we battle at times. Even some people, it might even surprise you, battle in their lives with the spiritual warfare that Satan is throwing at them with this nature of either living in the spirit or living in the flesh, because Satan's going to be feeding constantly us wanting to live in the flesh. But you would be surprised at how some people battle with that. Famous people that you would think that they would never have anything. Even biblical characters that you would think, man, an apostle, they don't have anything wrong with them. Oh, these saints, they're perfect. Oh, my goodness. But I want to point out to you, in Paul's own words, and Paul in other places in his own words said this, follow me as I follow Christ. Do what I do. So he's encouraging people to follow him. He's saying, do what I do. And yet at the same time, he's wise enough to know that there's a battle that goes on in his life over his spirit and over his flesh, and how they are contrary and how they are fighting. Listen to his words in Romans. There, if you'll turn in your Bible, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. But let's start it in verse 14, where it says this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So he recognizes that there's a carnality in his life. This is Paul the Apostle speaking, one who wrote the books of the Bible that we so often read to get our spiritual doctrines from. This is him opening up and being honest about himself. Verse 15 says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For I will to be present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he cries out in exasperation, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? If he left it there, oh, how miserable we would be in our lives. But he added one more verse, and he said this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with my mind I will serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. He says, I thank God for this. So we see, if you noticed, Paul mentions that there are basically two laws mentioned in these verses. And these two laws, the first one is the law of the Spirit, which is the law of God. And that's where we have our freedom, and that's where we have our liberty, that's where we have our ability that we can do all things, but we're not going to do things that are an offense unto others and an offense unto God. We're not going to sin. We choose, we exercise our free will not to do that. That's the law of the Spirit, living for God and what He desires. But there's also that law of sin, and that's where my fleshly nature has to fall into subjection to the law of sin. Now, you might be thinking, with all these laws, why is there so much failure? And maybe you, at times in your Christian walk, even feel defeated. You sit there and go, I feel so defeated in my life. I want to do good, and yet I find myself not doing what I want to do. I find myself allowing my flesh to rule over my life. And you just get discouraged, and you get defeated because of that. And the reason is because we live our lives, and you have to listen closely to this because it can get a little confusing. We live our lives in just one of these laws instead of living our lives in both of these laws. See, some people think, well, I'm just going to walk in the Spirit and I won't have to worry about the law of the flesh. I'm not going to have to worry about that because I'm going to walk in the Spirit and that'll take care of everything. And I wish it would be that easy. But we have to, at times, stop and think, I need to make sure that my flesh is not ruling, and therefore I need to put it into subjection to the law of the flesh. Your flesh will never submit to the Spirit. You may want to walk in the Spirit, but your flesh is saying, I'm gonna try and get back on top. I don't want to be on the bottom. I want to be on the top of your life. So what you have to learn to do is to submit your flesh to the law of the flesh. And the key, and this is the important thing, once you submit your flesh unto the law of the flesh, then you need to have your spirit rule over it. In other words, you think you're just going, okay, that's going to be the law of the flesh, and you forget about it. No, you have to be aware of it at all times. What was Eve's mistake? She wasn't aware that she was being tricked. What is our mistake? We're not aware. Or we just want to satisfy our flesh. Let me give you a little example of satisfying our flesh. None of you will relate to this at all. It's only my problem. I love food. And whenever there's good food, there always has to be good dessert. And I actually have a refrigerator that talks to me. I'll walk by it and it'll say, Pete, I'm here. Take a look. Open me up. I'm just going to look. And then you see, oh, Irene's chili relleno. I just want to smell it for a second. I know I've already eaten four. And then the microwave starts talking to me. Warm it up. It shouldn't feel cold. I'm going to warm it up and make it feel good. I'm just going to look a little bit. I'm not going to eat it. No, I will not eat anymore tomorrow. And then you eat the chili relleno. And it tastes so good. And you walk by the counter and there's all these glorious cookies that were brought over by Christians that want you to follow the flesh. I mean, enjoy the flavor of the holidays. And you go, no tomorrow. I'm just going to have one more. No, maybe two more. And it's hard to stop once you start your flesh going down that hill. And that's why we cannot think that we can battle our flesh with our flesh by just saying no. We have to have our spirit intervene and work within us to help us walk in victory. So in order to do that, I think it's imperative that we know what God's heart is towards us and what his desire is towards us, which would be to walk as mature Christians. We know that the scripture is clear in Philippians 1:6. You all know that verse. Being confident of this very thing that God, that it says he, but it's God, who begin this good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Until the day of Jesus Christ is a reference to the rapture. Has the rapture taken place? Not yet. Could it take place today? Absolutely. There is no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. It could happen right this second. Boom, and then you'd be up there eating burger hamburger. Instead of hamburgers, you'd be eating manna hamburgers up there in heaven. So right now, what we're saying, what he's saying here is until the Lord Jesus comes back, God, you can be confident, is going to do that good work in you, and he's going to perform that good work in you until we're raptured. Why until we're raptured? Because once we're raptured, we're completely sanctified. Sanctified means being changed from glory to glory. When we get completely sanctified is when we're in his presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So God is at work in our lives. But what we need to do is stop thinking, well, if God is present in my life, then why is there so much failure still in my life? That is simply because you have not gotten into the habit of letting your spirit rule over your life, but you're still fighting your flesh with your own flesh, your own willpower. And you're not doing what James exhorts us to do there in chapter 1, verse 22, where he says, be a doer of the word of God and not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. As I mentioned earlier, we can hear the word of God and we can say, amen, I'm going to apply that to my life. We get to the front door of the church, and the next thing we know, we left it inside the church, and it doesn't even come to our minds anymore. Because we're not being a doer of the word of God. We're not putting it into practice. A doer of the word of God is a person who is learning to walk in the spirit and not let the flesh rule in their lives. So the question is, how do we do this? The answer is in the Word of God, also in Romans. If you go over to chapter 12, two simple verses. But boy, are they life-changing when we become a doer of these. Not just knowing what the verses mean, not just knowing where they're at, but applying them in our lives, as we see in verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you. Notice that it's all capital letters, beseech. The word beseech in Greek means I beg you. And when it's texting, when you really want to get someone's attention, what do? You put it in capital letters, right? My kids told me that. Dad, why are you yelling at us all the time? I go, what are you talking about? Well, you're putting everything in capital letters. That means you're yelling. I go, I didn't know that. Well, now you know in the Bible, when it's capital letters, God's trying to get our attention. So Paul's saying, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not, verse 2, be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do we see here? We see the key words. One of the key words is saying this, being not conformed. Conformed to what? To the world, to the things that Satan would want you to follow after. He does not want you to follow after the worldly things. But what then do we be follow after? It says, and those are the other key words, be ye transformed. Well, how are we going to be transformed? Let's circle back once again to James 1:22, where it's telling us there to be doers of the word of God. In other words, the word do is practice. Be a doer, practice the word of God. You know, if you're a professional athlete, you're in college, you're an athlete, you have a playbook, you learn the plays. But once you get the plays in your head, then you have to go out there and perform it. And that's how we become doers of the Word of God. Not just knowing what it says, but by getting out there and practicing those principles of the Word of God in our lives. So how do we do that? What are things that we should do? And if you've been along with me for any journey in these last 45 years, this is what today is. It's the church's 45th Sunday anniversary. In 1977, the first Sunday of January is when we had our first Sunday service, and that was at IVC Cafeteria, and I taught out of Matthew 13, the sower and the seed. I still remember it. And here, the principles are the same. We were an early church then, but if you go back over 2,000 years, you really see the early church. And you see there in Acts 2:42, there's things there that if we would do these, we would be able to easily walk in the Spirit because we would be doing biblical principles on a daily basis. And the scripture says, and they, the early church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostleship's doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Well, what are those four things? First thing is the Word of God, the apostles' doctrine. They did not have chapter and books. The New Testament hadn't been written then, but they heard from the apostles who heard from Jesus the biblical principles of the Word of God. And so they would go and they would listen to the Word of God every single day. And we need to have the Word of God in our minds every single day. We need to have some time that we take and have some devotion with the Word, with the Lord, every single day. We should have some times that we are going from chapter 1 of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. I'm in Job right now. That's just a delightful book to have your spirits lifted, isn't it? But there are wonderful truths in there as well. And so we need to be in the Word of God every single day. How many of you, if you take a look at the Word of God and compare it to eating, how many of you would go a week or 2 weeks without eating a meal? No food. No food whatsoever. Most people, after they miss one meal, they say they're starving. You are not starving. You may have stomach growls, but you are not starving. Well, the Word of God is our food. And yet there are people who will only pick up the Bible, dust it off, wipe it down so when they walk into church, it doesn't look like it wasn't used during the week. And they will come in, and that's the only time they open up the Word of God. And yet that is God's Word. It's His operating manual. It's His guidance for our lives, His Word. Well, I read it once, I've been told by many people. I'm just amazed that I can read the same passage over many times and get different things out of it that all line up with Scripture. Because it's the living Word. And so we need to be able to have that Word grow in our lives. There is another thing, it's fellowship. Fellowship used to be extremely important. 40 years ago, of all Christians, the statistics were 80% of them made it a weekly obligation to take their family to church. And now it's down into the 24% of Christians make it a weekly important obligation to go to church. Why do you think that is? Well, that's because the enemy doesn't want you in fellowship. There's a spiritual dynamic that happens that when you are with other believers, the family, the like-minded family, and you're all hearing the same thing, we're all going in the same direction. It's amazing how we become like-minded and how we grow together and how important that is. I have had people tell me, I'm just not getting fed anymore. And I say, well, I think it might simply be because I only see you here once every 6 weeks and you feel disconnected. Yeah, I feel disconnected. Well, if you were here in fellowship, you wouldn't be disconnected. You would be connected. It's just like with your families. If you don't call your family, you don't visit your family, you don't have any relationship with your family, then you're disconnected and you don't feel part of the family. And that's what happens to many people in the body of Christ. It's one of the biggest temptations that Satan has, very subtle, to get us not to come to church because Satan knows the importance and the value of fellowship. True story, missionary, out on the field, saved, was used by God to save this tribe, chief all the way down, fed them the Word of God for months, and then went to another villages, came back about a year or so, and he just said, Chief, how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing okay. He goes, well, how's your walk with the Lord doing? He goes, well, I can compare it as if there's two dogs in my life. There's a white dog and a dark dog. And the white dog represents me doing good with God, and the dark dog represents me doing my old things with the world. He goes, well, how are you doing with it? Who's winning out? He goes, it all depends on which one I feed the most. And oh, how true that is. If we feel and have an attitude that fellowship is not that important, then we are not going to be walking in the Spirit. We're going to be walking in the flesh, and we're going to slowly spiral down to where the flesh is ruling, and we're not connected anymore. The breaking of bread is, they had these laws, and the early church followed after the cleansing of the laws, where they would wash their hands real good, and then they would break bread together, and then they would eat. But the washing part of it, and I know I may be stretching this a little bit, but I look at that in a spiritual sense as we need to be washed. And I don't mean in your shower. I didn't smell anyone smell this morning bad, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Spiritually, we need to be washed. We need to ask God to wash us clean and purify us. And one of the ways of doing that is confessing our sin. And God is so gracious that there in 1 John 1:9, he says that if we confess our sin, that he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is gracious enough, knowing that, you know, he accepts us, even knowing that we're still going to sin, gives us opportunity to be washed. And we need to wash ourselves and ask for forgiveness and talk to God and wash us clean, which comes into the next one, and that is prayer. Prayer is just talking with God. It's important that we recognize that if you want to be close to somebody, you have to talk with somebody. Do you have a family member that you don't even know? And if you talk with them, it's very seldom. I just recently got an email from my father's brother's son, saying that I can't believe I was talking to my brother. His brother's name is Pete. And I remember him when I was older than him, and I remember, I go, "What's your name?" He goes, "Pete Malinger." I go, no, that's my name. You can't have my name. What's your name?" And he was just a little guy, and I had so much fun with doing that. Well, he had a brother by the name of Mark. And we just briefly met one time when I was asked to go back to Minnesota and to teach at a Calvary Chapel back there. We got together with the family. He was just there, and there was no real interaction and stuff. And he says, "I can't believe I was talking to my brother, you know, the other day, that you live in El Centro. I didn't connect it. I knew you lived in California. And we moved to Yuma. And I'm hearing about this Dr. Malinger over here, and I don't know anything about who she is or anything. Could that be your daughter?" And so we emailed a little bit, and then I called him, and we talked for a couple hours on the phone and just started having fellowship. He's a believer, having fellowship, telling stories about my dad and his dad and all these different things. And now, from having a relative that I didn't know, we're now having communication, and we'll be getting together and growing in that, because all of my relatives virtually are in Minnesota, and there's a few in San Francisco that I never hear anything about from my mom's side, and the rest of them are back in Minnesota. So it'll be nice to meet a relative. It'll be nice to have fellowship with a like-minded person. And that's what Jesus wants with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have us be like-minded with him, not him be like-minded with your flesh. And the way we're going to do that is through prayer. You can have a great relationship with somebody. You can love them with all your heart. But until you say, "Hey, Siri, call so-and-so," and they answer, and you don't get the recording saying, "Their mailbox is full and cannot be," and every time you call, it's full, you get the hint they don't want to talk to you, don't want to talk to people. But the bottom line is, God's mailbox is never full. He always answers. And he may not say it out loud, but he's been saying, "I've been waiting for you a long time. Thanks for calling. Thanks for talking with me." These are four things. And if you take a close look at them and you like word pictures, I've used this one a lot. It's like these are four spiritual tires on your spiritual vessel of your life. And if you do each one of them, your tires are inflated properly. Have you ever driven and had a flat tire? All of a sudden, typically a flat tire doesn't happen at a convenient place. You hear what I'm saying? Spiritually, when we get a flat tire, it's not at a convenient place. And it's not easy to drive your car with a flat tire. But spiritually, when you stop reading the Word of God, having devotions and listening to the Word of God, then you got a flat tire. And you're trying to hobble along. I had a shopping cart just a week ago. It had only 3 tires on the whole cart. I wonder why it sat there all by itself saying, "Help me, take me. No one wants me." I'm making that up. I don't hear things like that. I just hear refrigerators talking to me. Well, a shopping cart that you're going to put a whole bunch of stuff in and 3 wheels isn't the funnest thing to use. But spiritually, when you have a flat tire, now you have a spiritual flat tire. And typically what happens if you stop reading the Word of God and having your fellowship time with God, you're not going to be praying. Because you know God's going to be saying, "Read my word. Read my word." And you know you should be, but you don't want to hear it, so you don't talk to him. So now you have 2 flat tires. Well, if you're not praying, then you can't be confessing your sins. You got 3 flat tires. So if you're not reading, you're not praying, and you're not confessing your sin, you don't want to walk into church because you know that everyone's going to be looking at you thinking that you're just a spiritual loser because they can read your mind. Well, first of all, they can't read your mind, but you can know where you're at. So I would encourage you that every time you come to church, that whole week that you're praying, "God, prepare my heart to receive what you want me to receive. Let me walk in the Spirit, fill me with your joy, and let me be a blessing to somebody there today." And I promise God will answer all of those prayers. And so it's very important for us to know that. You see, if you purpose in your heart to continue to renew your mind, remember it says that we are to renew our minds, you know, to keep our minds fresh. Let me read Romans to you again. I beseech you, verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice." How? "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be" what? "Transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Acts 2:42 will be the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. I promise you that if you do that, then next year you will not have to make 1 New Year's resolutions, because if you're walking in the Spirit, there's no need to make New Year's resolutions, because you have allowed your spirit to rule over your flesh. And you have walked in victory. When Satan throws those temptations to sin at you, or one of the things he loves to do because he's the father of it, he loves to throw lies at you. He wants you to begin to believe a lie. And a lot of that lie is that God doesn't care for you, or doubts. But yet God loves you. We just knew and we saw there in Philippians 1, verse 6, where it says, the good work that God started in you, he's going to continue until the day of Jesus Christ. So we know that he cares about us. We know that he loves us. My goodness, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He loves us so much. And then when those attacks come, you can just be a Christian. And you know what the word Christian means? A little Christ. At first, they were making it a joke, and the Christians took it and said, we'll take that title. We would love to be called little Christ. And what does that mean, Christ-like? Well, what did Jesus do when Satan threw the temptations at him? It is written. It is written. It is written. And he's talking about the Word of God. And Satan could not defeat Jesus because Jesus used the Word of God on him. When we're sitting there going, no, 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 we're not using the Word of God. We're fighting the flesh with the flesh, and the flesh will always win. But when we're fighting the flesh and the Spirit will win. And God desires us to walk in the Spirit. So enjoy this year. My prayer is that you will be a blessing and that you will be blessed, but you will also be a blessing around everyone that you come in contact with because you'll be walking in the Spirit. And how do you walk in the Spirit? By living out Acts 2:42 on a daily basis. And that you'll notice that your life will be filled with peace and contentment because you're walking in the Spirit. And no matter what Satan throws at you, no matter how exhausted, beat up spiritually you could feel, you still have won the fight. And you're walking in victory. And that's my prayer for you for this new year, is to be able to walk in the Spirit and to present yourself a living sacrifice.